Welcome to the Pitch House Cinema Podcast, Pedro Almodovar.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. We're of course here to talk about Parallel Mothers. So first and foremost, congratulations on the film. I really enjoyed it. There's a poster of Parallel Mothers in one of your earlier films, Broken Embraces, which I learned as I was prepping for this. Have you had this idea for a while, I suspect, if that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there is a poster in Broken Embraces. It's supposing like that the director made that movie. So what it means in reality is that I was writing the story like little before Broken Embraces, and I have still a first draft, but I was not very happy with the result, and then I was working more with the time. But it's true that at that moment I already wrote the relationship between the two mothers, and also the relation between Penelope's character with the Musgraves, because she's an orphan, she's single, and she was raised and saved by the grandmother. So with the grandmother came the memories of the Civil War, the Spanish Civil War.
Are there any other posters for your past or future films in any of your other films, or is that exactly accepted?
Sometimes, you know, it's funny for me, it's like a joke, because, for example, in Bad Education appears when Gael enters in the office of the director, there is a poster with a very old woman, and the name, it was La Abuela, I mean, the grandmother. I don't remember exactly, but that it was the subject of Volver, that at the beginning, you know, Gatti, which is my art director, that makes the design of the poster, make that one. But which means that at that moment, I was already writing Volver.
Interesting.
Sí, voy dejando como huellas.
I leave little footprints of either past or future movies in some of my movies.
I'm now going to have to go back and revisit your entire catalogue. So I see I see what you're doing.
If you have time.
So from what you're saying, I'm guessing the political aspect of the story came first. What then inspired you to make the motherhood story part of this film as well? And how did you intertwine those threads?
Yeah, there are two different themes, but I wanted to talk about in the contemporary moment. And then I think there is a link with the past, of course, with Penelope, with the grandmother, and the mother took her and gave her the legacy of find the remains of the great grandfather that is in one of these mass graves. So Penelope is trying to open that mass grave. And also, you know, this problem, even that is very old, because it is now 85 years that this thing happens. But, I mean, the Spanish society didn't find out the way till now. Just to give you an example, Spain is the second country with more missing people after Cambodia. We have 100,000 missing persons that they were buried in mass graves. So it's a kind of big debt that the Spanish society has with the victims and with the families of the victims. Now is the generation of the great grandchildren that they are asking for that. And I hope that from now on it will be different, because, I mean, the last July, the government of Pedro Sánchez, which is a socialist government, creates a law, the law of democratic memory, when up till now the problems of the mass graves just belongs to the administration. So they will pay, the law is in the parliament to be discussed. But I hope that with this, I mean, this problem, it will be already finished, you know. And it's about time, you know, it's 85 years, is a lot.
It really is. Have you heard any reaction from your countrymen to this film? Have they had the chance? Has anybody had a chance to see it?
You know, I mean, I receive a kind of hostility, but not directly. I mean, Spain, it was always a divided country in the last century, but also now. And now also they are, you know, as we have for the first time in the last 4 years, we have far right party. They are very noisy. and they impregnate and contaminate really the political life. For that reason, now I think it's very important for the young generation to know, I mean, to talk about this issue. Because, I mean, these people from the far right, they didn't condemn Franco. They defend the Franco regime. And they are trying to tell a fake version of our own history. So for me, it was very important to make this movie, just to give visibility to this problem.
Absolutely. You've worked with Penelope Cruz on several films. I think this is your eighth film together. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Seventh.
How has she evolved from that first film, which I think was Live First, to now as an actor in your eyes?
Well, I think the best thing is that she didn't change so much because, I mean, since the beginning, Penelope was so good, so strong as an actress and as a person, that, I mean, the best thing is that she didn't lose this spontaneity, this kind of force of nature that she have. I mean, the first movie we did, she was also a pregnant mother.
sensing a theme here.
Yes. and she gave birth in a bus. And she was only 8 minutes on screen, but she was so powerful that I can say that her American career started in this moment. I heard Stephen Frears, which is a friend of mine, telling me that after watching this appearance of Penelope in Lifeless, that 8 minutes, that for that he called her to be the protagonist of his next movie, that it was High Low Country. It was a Western. And so she started making movies in English. And, well, I mean, she, of course, she grew up. I mean, she's much more conscious about her skills and about her profession. And the more important for me is that we have an incredible chemistry between director and actress. So that always she gives me a lot of confidence about myself and about the movie we are doing.
One of the things that I love about this movie in particular, when it comes to Cruz's character, is that you use the fade out on her character a few times. I think it's effective every time. What is it that you love about that storytelling device?
Bueno, más algo el fundido, un fundido negro peculiar, porque lo que hago es que se apaga toda la luz que hay en el decorado y permanece la luz exclusivamente sobre el rostro de Penélope y después se va apagando en el rostro. Lo hago en dos partes. Primero lo que es el ambiente y después, o sea, y dejo solo al personaje iluminado.
I use the fade out, the way that I use the fade out is quite peculiar. What I do is I turn off all the lights on set except the light on Penelope's face, which then I keep turning down slowly. So first I bring down all the lights on the ambience and then I bring down the lights on the character. And it's a question of language. It's a way of emphasizing the presence of the protagonist. And I copied it from a film that's absolutely not a drama, Anti-Maine, with Rosalind Russell.
I love that. That's fantastic. And you could contrast Penelope Cruz with Marlena Smith, who is incredible at displaying this film as Anna. She had no experience prior to this film. What were you looking for when you were casting this role, and what stood out to you once you met her?
Well, I wanted, because I what happened with the character, I mean, the way she was pregnant, it was a kind of rape that I read in one newspaper. That someone, I mean, just take a video of she was making love with a friend, and then they blackmail her and they make love with her without, I mean, with just like a rape. So I wanted, because that was a typical sequence of someone very young where they are drugs, alcohol, and a lot of confusion, where always the girls are the victims of that. And so I wanted also to put close to Penelope, which is an adult mother, someone very young that is frightened and that she didn't want to be a mother. And she's mother because of that. So I was looking for a very young actress, and we made audition. And I mean, the director of the casting made a lot of audition. And I very, very soon I saw the cast of Milena, and immediately I knew that she was the one to do it. Because I was very, very preoccupied, because it was a very important character in the movie. She has to be faced in front of Penelope, that is a great actress, as if she's not great, you know, she disappears. So Minella, since the very beginning, what she demonstrated in the proof that she has an incredible connection, even she's so young, with her own pain. So I put, for the proof, I make the choice of one very dramatic sequences, and she was in tears immediately like that. So I was very impressed. So just at the moment that we were rehearsing, she was increasing. And above all, you know, when you start shooting, that means the camera has its own way of deciding. I don't know how to say its own taste, the camera, the machine. The camera decides if someone is good or not. I mean, sometimes the camera loves someone and then increase incredibly the skills of that actor or actress. And also the cameras sometimes refuse someone. And it doesn't matter that if they are good or bad actors. It's a mystery. It's just like to have photogenia or not. And Milena was, I mean, the first time in front of the camera, she was immense. She was magnificent. That the smallest thing she did, I mean, the camera just was there and you could see.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it comes through. Yeah. I really loved Alberto Iglesias' score for this film. The string work is fantastic. What sort of discussions were you having with him about what this movie needed on a musical level?
Nosotros trabajamos en un modo que para el músico puede ser una tortura, porque es prueba-error. O sea, él compone, después de haber hablado conmigo acerca del tono de la secuencia, compone 4 or 5 temas, y después me los ofrece.
So Alberto and I work in a way that might be quite torturous for a musician. So we work based on a trial and error type way. So after speaking with me about the tone of that I'm looking for the scenes, he composes 4 or 5 pieces, and then I try them out by putting them on top of the footage directly. So I intuitively decide what music goes well with a particular scene, which might be very hard for a musician, but he has this immense versatility to compose music, then kind of put himself into a position where he composes the complete opposite pieces for me to try out and to try to imagine the compositions and the music that I dreamed to be the right ones for particular scenes.
The score is a kind of like a dress you put in one movie, and it needs to be like, I mean, to fit so well as a dress, as an outfit. It is like the second skin. And well, particularly in this movie, I mean, he did it since the first time. And also, I mean, he just underlined a little, not underlined, I mean, he's very expressive in one element, that is the suspense and the thrilling moment of the, sometimes the movie looks like a thriller with the second meeting of Penelope and he was very clever to make that more obvious with the music. Now I'm very lucky because, you know, I start working with him in the 1995, and since then, I mean, he's one element that I couldn't make a movie without him.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm very excited to listen to that score on its own. It should be an interesting experience. One of the narrative threads in this movie is looking to the past so that you can better understand yourself and better understand the present. If Parallel Mothers was a person's first Pedro Almodovar film, what film would you direct them to in your past to help give them a better understanding of you as a filmmaker?
I mean, just to give one like the opposite example of Parallel Mother, I would recommend Women Universe of an Everest Breakdown. Because it's really, I mean, it's a crazy comedy that is, I'm very happy that someone can see that I was also the director of that movie.
Yeah.
because it's like the opposite movie.
I like that. Well, now you're now moving on to your first English language film. Why was now the right time to do that? And how excited are you to be working with Cate Blanchett?
Yeah, well, I was hesitating a lot because since Women, I have many proposition from Hollywood to make a movie there. It was very clear for me that I didn't want to work in Hollywood and to make a movie in English because I thought my English it was enough. And also I don't like the production system of Hollywood. But with the time, and above all, after shooting this 30-minute film with Tilda Swinton, The Human Voice, that it was in English, that was my first experience. And then it was enough to lessen the fear that I have to the language. I could do it. So then I discovered this book. I sent it before Human Voice. I sent it to Cate. She was fascinated by the book about the short stories because it's a collective short stories of Lucia Berlin. And she told me that she wanted to be doing anything in this if I made the movie. So what we have is that, in one hand, I'm a big admirer of Cate. I think Cate is one of the greatest actresses and also is perfect for the character. And I already wrote the script and we are starting like a small pre-production. So sometimes I hesitate still. I mean, I'm not so sure about my ability to make this movie completely in English, but I have to do it. And now I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready or not, but I'm going to do it.
I have faith you'll do it well.
Okay,
I'm just saying. Final question. Paolo Mothers will be playing in UK cinemas from this weekend. What is it that you love about the cinema experience?
Well, something which makes the difference between watching a movie on a TV or on is just to feel very small in front of one screen. I mean, if you love to be kidnapped by one story, you need to be, the screen should be bigger than you, and there is nothing that you can see but the screen. And I would like to just to tell people to go back after the pandemic, to go back to the cinema, because the kind of not only pleasure, tension, emotion that you can feel in front of a big screen, it is you cannot compare with something which is part of your decoration. And unfortunately, you know, all the platforms change the way of watching a movie. And I really hope that the people go back again, because at least for me, that I'm a moviegoer, I'm a cinephile, it is very important to go every week and to have that experience.
I agree. Pedro Almodovar, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks to you.